Small Biz America.
The brain.
Our guest on this segment is an expert in business-to-business sales strategies. Years ago, Howard Highsmith started his career selling office equipment door-to-door. These were $100,000 engineering computer solutions to large utility accounts with about a year or more sales cycle. Today, he's the founder of SalesQ and the B2B Institute. This new organization provides consulting and coaching services to companies that operate in complex sales environments. He's the author of the book Silver Bullet, which introduces an innovative business model for creating competitive advantage through revenue goal achievement and sustained revenues. Joining us on the line from his office in Columbus, North Carolina, to share his insights on the sales process, particularly in the technology space, is Howard Highsmith, a.k.a. the Gray Fox. Howard, welcome to the program.
Hi, David. How are you?
Doing well, sir. Thanks for joining us. How has the sales approach and process for technology products, how has it really changed in the years since you first got started in the business?
The simplest way to put it, it is changed from doing something to someone versus doing something for someone. I worked, at the risk of identifying the name of the company, but I work for a global, huge company that we were taught how to, in effect, do manipulative selling. And if you were really good at it, you could basically paint someone into a corner where the only way out was to say yes. Today, that whole relationship is completely changed entirely. Today, it's a matter of working with someone in a problem-solving mode, especially on the more complex sales. So, from one end of the spectrum to the other.
I'm just curious about, in those days, was there a set of rules, techniques, procedures, approaches that you had to study, that one had to study in order to be successful
at
this?
My first day working for this company was in New York for a month in training, intense training. So we were taught a manipulative series of processes. It was very intense.
From your vantage point, why did the approach to sales change? What was the inspiration for the industry you're in, or maybe others as well, to change from a manipulative approach to a more consultative approach?
Probably because in the simplest, again, way to put this is
sure.
It didn't work. It stopped working. I don't know about you, and I can probably guess about you, that I don't want to be manipulated in doing something. I want to be educated on how something might work for me, and I'll make the decision on working with that particular provider. And I think we've moved into a tremendously more complex environment, both from a technology side as well as from a sales process side. That's some of the changes.
Let's talk about sales pipelines. This is an area you're particularly focused on. You have a system called Revenue at Risk that helps guide a company's management of their own sales pipeline relative to their revenue goal. How does all of this work?
Actually, the process is called revenue mapping.
Ah.
I own a Federal Registered trademark on revenue mapping, and it's the concept of mapping sales opportunities through a logical sales process. The revenue at risk, however, is a way that I use to describe to companies the amount of money that they've got in their sales pipeline at any given time, of which they will typically win a fairly small percentage of that those opportunities. So it's a matter of I use the revenue at risk as a way to call attention to the fact that in business development, when you're working in those environments, revenue just doesn't automatically happen. Just because you're a nice guy and you do good things doesn't automatically translate into sales. And so I use the term revenue at risk to call attention to the fact that a pipeline has to be significantly larger than the monthly sales goal, or you won't make your goal.
Is there a tendency for sales groups internally to set a goal and then only achieve that goal? Is there a psychological piece to that that sets the stage for the system?
Well, that's an interesting question. There are sort of two sides to it. If management isn't management frequently makes assumptions that if they've got, let's just make up some numbers. Let's say you've got a $100,000 a month sales goal, and you've got $500,000 worth of sales opportunities identified. Well, there's an assumption that should be adequate to cause the company to make their sales goal. And so they really don't sort of pay attention to the details, the process. And it really is the process where you win or lose opportunities. And so if they don't pay close attention to the sales process, this, by the way, is why sales training, which is seen all too often as an expense as opposed to an investment, is so critical. I try to partner with sales training companies for that very reason. I consider them to be key components to improving the effectiveness of a sales company, a salesperson or a company in being successful. But by and large, it's a matter of there's not enough attention paid to it, or there's the assumption, I call it the if, wish, hope, covet, desire sales approach. Salespeople are very positive people. And because of that, and especially within complex selling, where it's a subjective opinion more often than not, whether an opportunity is going to turn into an order, that salespeople will say, "Oh yeah, I've got a great relationship with them. That's going to be an order." When in fact, they really and truly don't know. They haven't paid attention enough to the sales process to know that they're really not as well established in that situation as they thought they were.
We're visiting with Howard Highsmith. He's the founder of SalesQ. That's www.salesq.com. And also the founder of the B2B Institute. That's www.b2bi.org. If you could break down for us some of the process, the elements that comprise this revenue mapping system.
There's a number. One is to identify if you haven't done it or you're just really starting to adopt a complete methodology, the key component there, of course, is identifying every sales opportunity. There have to be sort of rules established for what is a sales opportunity, and to be honest, we don't have the time to go into that level of detail today.
Sure.
Once you've got your identified list, it's then sitting down and establishing, and this is again where the sales training companies come in to play. Most sales training companies teach a sales stage or sales process. It's mapping then an opportunity where it is in the sales funnel. I have taken the sales funnel and turned it on its side rather than have it as a gravity-fed funnel. And the reason for that is that there's nothing in the complex selling. In transactional sale, you will easily be able to load up, so to speak, the pipeline with opportunities, and some revenue will come out of the bottom. In complex selling, because the funnel is on its side, you can put a large number of opportunities in, but nothing is guaranteed to come out the other end. It's a defined sales process. It's people that are wanting to do the right thing, that have integrity, that have initiative to move an opportunity through a logical set of sales steps or stages. And that's where that whole mapping comes into play. By taking a particular sales opportunity and saying, okay, they are at the stage two where we're basically discussing their needs, then that map then will give you a graphical representation of not only the total dollar value of all sales, but also where each individual opportunity is in that logical step.
Okay.
And then if I could add just one more piece.
Absolutely.
On top of that, we then create a sales map that takes those same sales stages, and instead of dollar values, it basically, you establish a set of logical steps within each stage that you want to make sure that you do. For example, if at stage one, which is the initial approach phase, you want to be sure to do a webinar to demonstrate your initial product, that would become one of the steps in that stage.
Okay. You recently formed the B2B Institute to serve small businesses. What was the inspiration to create it? And tell us about how it's designed to help small businesses.
The B2B Institute is a way, for lack of a simpler way to say it, is a way for me to give back to my industry. I've been in sales. It's unbelievable to me that I've been in the sales and management business for 40 years. I hate to even use the word. It kills me.
Right.
But it's a way at my age to start putting together an organization that will provide information to small businesses at low. My goal is to have as much as possible to be low or no cost. Both, and I have sort of two segments. I have one segment which is basically made up. It's performance issues through people, methods, and tools. So I'm looking for organizations that are providing those methods, tools, or people issues that can help a company improve its sales performance. And then there's another segment that I'm expanding is called deliberate practices. And deliberate practices is going to be fundamentally an educational organization. It will have knowledge experts from all walks of life, so to speak, that do all sorts of different things to help companies. And you'll be able to basically, as an owner or a member of this institute, you'll be able to select from a menu of services specifically what you're looking to get information about from that knowledge expert.
Wonderful.
I'm excited about it. It's a way that I think small business just, you know, flat out, I do management consulting work in this, we've talked about revenue mapping and when you get into those kind of engagements, most small businesses just honestly can't afford. It's not a question of whether they need it or not. They need it. But it's a question of whether they can afford to do it. So yeah. I've taken a smaller version of revenue mapping called Measuring Sticks, and I've donated that intellectual property to the institute, so that when you become a member, you'll be able to download revenue mapping in a smaller, less sophisticated version, but still with all the right pieces and parts in it, for free.
Very cool. Are these tools already available at b2bi.org?
We are just now launching effective August 1st. So the answer to the question is yes. But we haven't finalized, like the downloads, for example, are going to be probably downloaded by me initially. We're in the process of splitting up. Right now, B2B Institute, the website is shared with my SalesQ website. So there's some pieces and parts that I've yet to get fully implemented. But for a member, they will get all of what's being promised to be delivered.
And for those listening in the long tail, we're sitting in August of 2009. You're the author of the book Silver Bullet. Why did you write it, and what can readers expect inside it?
Well, I hope what they'll read, what they will read and learn is, I call them unnatural acts. I've worked in the sales management side of the business, and it's the expectation of performance without any real investment in strategies. Our world has become almost exclusively tactically oriented. Everything is tied to tactics. We don't either have enough time, or we're not willing to invest the time to develop and manage a strategy. And so things are done, I call it the ready, fire, aim approach. And they can have some immediate return on investment. The problem is they have no shelf life, so to speak. They're just integrated into a sales piece. Let's do this sales deal. Let's give them whatever they want without any regard to whether or not that's a good move or not.
Yeah,
it's the for the moment of, I'm not sure I'm saying this very well, but it's for the moment of today that we do things tactically instead of having a strategy that will support us over time.
I'm curious about your impressions in general about the whole matter around internet marketing, email marketing. It seems that there is built into much of the email marketing systems a very systematic approach.
Internet marketing is an important element to marketing strategy. It's not the marketing strategy, depending on the kind of company that you're putting together. There are some companies that lend themselves very well. Well, anything that's in the intellectual property world is easy to deliver, because you want to learn about drip marketing, for example, then you can download a white paper on, or lots of them actually, on drip marketing. I have a real mixed emotion about it, causing that to be the only thing that you're doing. And I must admit, I'm struggling with some of that now myself, because I've got a long time reputation in the marketplace. My goals, I, in fact, am a member of the Institute of Management Consultants, so I have very specific and issues. In fact, I'm sitting in on a webinar tomorrow about ethics. I think those are very, very important things. So some of what I would like to see is to be able to do some combination of either by phone, ideally by face-to-face. If I could digress here a second, I have a friend of mine that's in sales in Atlanta who has several times said to me that he has mailed the proposal, that he has sent them an email about so-and-so. People buy from people still, and especially, again, if you've got to, we've got to recognize where we're selling. There are four steps overall in the transactional sales and feature benefit sales. To be quite frank about it, you can get away with some of the less of the personal involvement. But the higher you move up in the complex sale, the more important it becomes that I'm able to meet with you either face-to-face or we meet by phone on several occasions to build a relationship, not just by a web device.
Yes. Makes total sense. We are people, after all.
We are, yeah. And blogs, I think, are a great way. In fact, that's high on my priority list to get really cranked up. I write a lot of articles, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start taking those articles, or instead of writing an article, I'm going to start writing blogs, because I do think that is an extremely effective way to sort of say who you are, demonstrate who you are by your opinions, and have people get to know you in a way that they might not know you otherwise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a logical extension of the consultative model. Good stuff. Howard, thanks so much for your time today. Howard Highsmith has been our guest. He's the founder of SalesQ.com, that website, one and the same, www.salesqcue.com, and also the founder of the B2B Institute, and they share a website. That URL is www.b2bi.org. Howard, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
My pleasure, David.
Small Biz America.
The brain.
Online at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.